This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Mayor Julie Moore Wolf knows her way around politics. Illinois is a big, bad, ugly place. I mean, there's just no, I mean, you run for dog catcher here. It's politicized. It's, you got to raise money. You got to go out and do the game.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And you know, you go back to the negative pieces and, you know, I think all of us hope in this altruistic way that we really would gravitate towards the good news of the day and, mm-hmm. and the, you know, the kids and puppies, and there's a place for that in news. But, you know,
I don't
the
think
bad
it's
news
just,
is still there. And but, I mean, this kind of election, it works.
But let's not go all the way to, like, it's kids and puppies. There's actual, honest, good news. You know, I think about how...
But we don't fixate on the good news. We fixate on the bad news.
But I think about the last week of my life. When all of these things are hitting my mailbox, I was, I believe, Wednesday morning in a meeting with Nova Feed and their people, you know, here from France about their $250 million project coinciding with ADM. Had a wonderful time at Richland's graduation on Friday night. There were events everywhere. I think about the news in my life. I mean, the things that matter to me, the things that I'm consuming has nothing to do with any of that.
Absolutely.
And it's not kids and poppies.
And we're also, although Jesse Sullivan has a really cute commercial on with his four little kids.
Yeah, he's got a great family. Yeah. I mean, yes.
But you've said this over the years repeatedly. We don't celebrate the good things enough. And, you know, we tend to move on to the next thing that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, we do that. And then the media is certainly to blame on its fixation on, you know, the negative. We were talking about this last week, and I brought it up only, and whenever you do this, you're in danger of somebody saying that you don't care, and it's not that at all. I don't know how we attach our care and importance to the math. 45,000 people, and clearly yesterday was a horrible day with what happened in Buffalo.
Awful.
And the fact that there's these racist people out there still doing this kind of thing, I don't even have words. But if you just look at the numbers, and this is what I don't understand about politics, and people's refusal to see how politics has interfered with COVID or whatever else, 45,000 people lost their lives to handguns or gun violence in the United States of America last year. 100,000 people died of drug overdoses, 2/3 of those fentanyl driven by, you know, mm-hmm. out of that and yeah. people not knowing. And in a 2-year period, 1 million people died of COVID. Yet if you look at just the math of that, the politicians will turn that upside down depending on which party they're in and scare the bejesus out of you. You know, when clearly just Vegas odds, your chance of dying of COVID are way more than overdosing, way more than getting shot and killed, way more than all. And yet it's like none of that matters because we'll just play with your emotions.
And apparently they believe it works.
And that's how
they get elected so they can continue doing the work of the people.
But if you're the mayor of the city and you have 1 million, 100,000, and 45,000, the million is where you start.
You would think.
I mean, that's the
yeah.
priority.
Yeah.
If you're in a hospital, if you're in some sort of, you know, MASH unit, I mean, you go to where the largest problem is.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't even agree that it's a problem in this country.
Well,
but yet crime is on the top of everybody's list. You know, if you're running on one side of the aisle and the other side of the aisle has decided to go so ridiculously other than, like, not only are we not worried about crime, we're going to give you fewer police officers or some ridiculous notion. And you think, where is the reality in all of this?
Well, and where's the common sense? And how do we move forward as a community, as a country? I mean, we're a mess, the countrywide. On the city standpoint, I feel like we're making some good progress.
There's all kinds of great things happening here.
Yeah. I mean, there really are. And we tend to not see the forest for the trees sometimes.
Well, I think that you have to give the forest to people instead of the trees. And some politicians, locally run politicians do. Most that I've known over the years are just there to serve because they want to make the community a better place because there's no pay. There's no good pub. You're not getting anything out of it other than headaches and people writing you, you know, emails about, you know, ticked off about one thing or another. There's not a lot of perks in being on the city council or the school board.
Well, maybe not that you can see, but
I mean, like, yeah, that you would get from politics.
Right. It's not like the old days where you get, you know, special treatment at City Hall or something. You know, the big perk was back when we used to actually charge for hourly parking in the Civic Center parking lot. You got a pass for a month. It was pretty big.
Then you just quit putting the guy in that booth and everybody does it.
Yeah, we typically got rid of the booth.
So why do you do it? Will you do it again? What's the plan?
You know, Brian, I never thought I would say this, but I love being mayor. I never really got it. Paul Osborne and Tuna would talk about how much they love their job. Mm-hmm. And it is a job. And it's, you want to try and make a difference and make things better. And I, even when it's really, really bad, and you don't have a lot of ways to fix it, trying to make it as good as it possibly can be for your community is huge. And I hope I get the chance to serve another 4 years. I plan to run again. I'm up for election next April. And hopefully I will, you know, get the chance to spend some more time in the big seat.
How's the council in general? You know, not anybody individually, but just as a unit, how cohesive are you?
Well, it depends on the issue. It seems to be most of the time votes are not unanimous. If it's a hot issue, it's generally, you know, a 4-3 vote or, you know, at best a 5-2. You know, we're working through things and trying to keep the city moving forward. And people have various reasons they choose to go down one path or another. And, you know, everybody has their own ideas of what should be the most important thing that the city is doing. I mean, I'm pretty excited. We have 89 days of cash on hand. When we were closing in on, I'd been mayor for about 6 months, we had 5 days of working cash. I mean, that's not good. That's your rainy day fund.
Yeah, that's typical of Illinois, though, right?
But there are people on council. We have basically a policy that we want 60 days of cash on hand. Well, the best accounting practices is 90 days. And yeah, I'm a whole lot more comfortable with 90 days on hand than I am 60. But there are those on council that are saying, we've got so much money, let's spend it.
Yeah.
Let's do X, let's do Y, let's do Z.
And most of that comes from a passionate place of people just wanting to do good and make a difference, right? But you got to have a fiscal conservative sort of, I don't mean conservative in a political way, but I mean, you have to, you know, your job is to manage these funds.
Right. And we don't, we've done our best to really hold the line on taxes as much as we can. And like, we don't have a huge share of the property taxes. We get the blame when everybody gets their tax bill, but we don't have much control over property tax bills. But we've done what we can to hold the line on fees that would have automatically gone up with inflation. We've just never seen inflation like this.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a really tough summer.
Oh, it's going to be hard.
You know, I was really, I filled my tank up at the end of last week. And premium was like $5.40 or something like that a gallon. I was like, wow.
Well, and it goes fast. I've had to make some trips to Chicago, and I've got to go to St. Louis this week. And it's like, you know, I filled the car up and it was like $100 to fill it up. And now it's right down to under a quarter of a tank again. It's like, ugh.
Well, we're going to see this with power bills. You're going to see this with everything. It's just, it's across
the
board.
You go to the grocery
prices,
store,
yes,
and you're just like, wow.
So how do you, what are you thinking about, you know, because obviously the city's getting taxes off of most, if not all, of that. Is there any conversation about relief at all or for the consumers this summer? I just feel like it's going to be a really tough summer.
Well, and we had, you know, early on conversations about, well, can we roll back this tax, that tax? The problem we run into is it's also hitting the city's budget. So, you know, you have police cars, fire trucks, buses that run on gas. So we are also experiencing the higher costs.
Oh, don't get me started on the buses.
I know, and the trolley. New trolleys. But
we have new trolleys?
Uh-huh. Yeah, they look awesome. I thought I was crazy.
Wouldn't they look better with people in them?
Yeah, but they look good.
Okay, I know they look good, but do you know what? Those are gas vehicles. Those buses are gas vehicles.
When I think you the say trolleys are hybrids, so.
Oh, there you go. There I feel like go. The budget problems are solved. When I see this, it's like, to me, when you tell me, and I believe you, this isn't personal, but when you say, well, our costs go up too, except you don't run your business the way everybody else has to run their business. Meaning, we got buses driving all over this town day and night with a handful of people.
And we are looking at bus routes and what is the most efficient way to do stuff.
Minivan.
Brian, we actually looked at smaller bus vehicles and it didn't make sense to me, but it was like not even cost effective. And there are times during the day that those buses are more full.
Because like the school of school kids. Kids. But school that decision was made to save District 61 money.
I know. And Brian, there aren't easy answers, but even chemicals to treat the water, all of that stuff is going up. And so we're kind of trying.
But do you feel like, though, I mean, you work in the private field, you've been in business, you've been in the media. You know, if the hospital were sitting, with a fleet of buses that nobody was riding in, that would be the first thing you would cut.
The hard thing about government, okay, and we are studying
contract
the bus.
Out with Uber. I mean, there's got to be other ways,
unfortunately,
right?
We don't have that many Uber drivers here.
Well, maybe
we
are, you would if
maybe,
you.
Maybe we would. Yeah. But it's one of those things where you are required to do a certain number of things. I mean, the buses are paid for with your federal tax dollars, and getting those back here, they're still tax dollars.
That stings a little less.
It does, but like one of the things with the buses is they stop running. You know, at like, I don't know, 7 o'clock at night, somewhere in there. So if you are a third shift worker, bus service doesn't work for you. We've got to look at what, you know, how can we help our factories employ more people that may not have transportation? How can we make this work for other people?
Well, somewhere in between an Uber driver and a 60 passenger bus, there's got to be a reasonable answer.
I agree with you. And we did look long and hard at that because that was a question on every councilman's mind. It's like, why do we have these big buses? But there are routes that are full. There are, you know, there are routes that they drive around. And you're like, why is this going around in circles?
Yeah.
You know, and the trolley drives me nuts, but.
I love the feel of it. I love the look of it. I love the concept of it. But if it doesn't work and if people aren't using it.
Well, and Brian, we are handcuffed by federal rules where, you know, people want to rent those out for prom or for weddings and we can't do it.
Yeah.
Federal rules. And, you know, your family budget or your small business budget, you can borrow from one bucket to another. And it's a whole lot harder in government.
I know.
It's not fun.
I know. It's what's wrong with government.
I know. You take making sense out of it.
Yes.
Which it's like, that's so frustrating to council people who are lay people. We get in, we're like, well, why are we doing that?
Well, it's why you don't get any innovation or creativity, because it's just bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy on top of bureaucracy.
Which drives me nuts.
And that doesn't mean that there's anything you can do about it or the council, but it does. I feel like people, you know, even when you make cuts, I always feel like I look at bureaucracy, school district, park district. I don't know about the park district. They seem pretty bare bones. But look at the city and like your cuts don't look like our cuts.
In your business or your
in
home?
Business. Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
still a lot of layers.
And government is a service industry, which it's a lot of people and people are expensive. I mean,
but are you a front end service agency? I mean, do you have, you know, we've got an entire committee that is all about user experience. I doubt that's on the top of anybody's mind down there at the Civic Center.
Well, we hope it is. And, you know, to be as business friendly, user friendly, citizen friendly as we possibly can be. Now, you know, like with
you got
any
a working
business,
group on that. I mean, because I have a few suggestions.
We would be happy to hear your suggestions.
Yes, sure. All right. Quick break. We'll be back. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf is in the studios. Here's Nick with your 3-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 78. Tonight, mostly clear, low around 55. For Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 82, chance of nighttime rain. For Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy and a high near 78. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 55 degrees. Your WSOI time, 7:25. This look at your weather brought to you by Brandon Barney with Main Place Real Estate. Spring into your new home. For all your real estate needs, trust Brandon to find your place.
The weather is warming up, but the real estate market continues to be hot. This is Brandon Barney, real estate broker with Main Place Real Estate. If you're looking for a new home or considering selling your current one, I'm here to guide you through the process. As an active and energetic real estate professional, I've helped hundreds of clients successfully reach their real estate goals. From starter home to dream home, downsizing, or adding to your investment portfolio, all your real estate goals, you can trust me to find your place. Bring into your new home, contact me, Brandon Barney with Main Place Real Estate, 217-620-9102.
Steve McClure for State Senate. Hardworking, conservative, fighting for us.
A fiscal conservative, McClure understands how taxes hurt working families.
That's why McClure fought the graduated income tax hike and is working to cut reckless spending at the state capitol.
As a prosecutor, Steve McClure has seen firsthand how crime hurts communities.
McClure led the fight against Chicago Democrats who are pushing to weaken criminal justice laws, laws which protect families.
McClure stopped dangerous liberals trying to defund the police because Steve McClure supports law enforcement.
A conservative Republican, McClure is a strong proponent of Second Amendment rights.
We can count on Steve McClure to stick up for families and stand up for our values.
Steve McClure, the best choice in the Republican primary.
McClure for State Senate, the conservative Republican we need.
Paid for by friends of Steve McClure.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Speak the truth.
5 days a week, three hours a day.
Mary Julie Moore Wolf is in the studios.
That's a lot of your truth, isn't it?
It is, probably too much. I got Mike Holby trying to take me down the Johnny Carson route, you know, taking Mondays off, and I don't know. And then I, what, take Tuesday off? And wasn't he on like once a week, basically, at the end?
It seemed like it, yeah. Yeah.
I've been on the air longer than Johnny Carson.
Wow.
How old are we?
Yeah.
All right.
And
so
I'm always going to be older.
Yeah, you know, that's an unfortunate fact, but nothing I can do about that. All right. I didn't go see Hamilton over the weekend. It was at the Fox Theater in St. Louis, and I cannot tell you how many people I personally know that I just saw either on Instagram or Facebook that was there to see Hamilton. Have you ever seen the performance?
Not live. I've been to the Fox several times, and I, too, know a lot of people that have been to that performance in the last, say, few weeks.
It's been there a few weeks.
Yeah, school took a trip down there not too long ago. I think the Arts Council's going down there too.
Yeah, I saw Dr. Morris had students. I too have never seen the play live.
I saw it in Chicago. And here, fun fact: I bought tickets for my daughters for their Christmas gift in 2019 for Hamilton at the Fox.
Really?
They were good seats. They
a little bit of a delay.
Well, they didn't get to see it yet. I've got to figure out how to get those tickets transferred into now.
All right. What do you make of what's going on in the primary? I'm not talking about the politics of this, just as we're looking at the landscape of what we have to work with as a community, right? Clearly, the Democrats would rather see Darren Bailey against J.B. Pritzker than Richard Ervin. And you can just see that by the way the Democratic Governors Association is pumping in millions of dollars to try to ensure that happens. Is that a fair read?
I think it is.
Okay.
And Richard Ervin has a new TV commercial out where he's got these like hedge trimmers and he's going to slash taxes. And then he talks about how he's not going to pardon Madigan. Madigan is up on federal charges.
Yeah, he has nothing to do with that.
He hasn't even been convicted yet. It's like,
Julie, there's no. I'm not asking you for a truth meter because there's no truth coming from any of these candidates. I'm just saying lay of the land. I feel like the Republicans have an uphill battle gubernatorially just because of the state and the makeup.
I totally agree.
And if Richard Ervin.
And you've got so many people on the ticket.
Right. And if Richard Ervin is the candidate, maybe their best shot, as much as he's annoyed me through the roof as a candidate, to get some of those Collar County and but now you throw abortion into the mix and who knows? I mean, inflation, the economy is going to be a big role for sure.
I would think that would be at the top of the list.
Statewide. But then I look at sort of like what we're doing all around here. And my God, it's like going to a game and there's a bunch of people out there in the field and you have no idea what number they're wearing, what names on the back of their jersey. It's too much.
Yeah, it's a lot. I can't wait for this primary to be over. We're a month away.
Yeah, but then even in the general, I mean, and I know we get this, you know, the remapping, maybe it provides, you know, opportunity too, because I mean, everybody resists change, but sometimes change, maybe somebody's going to pop up in the middle of all this and be a really good champion for our community.
I hope so. I hope the people that we can get them to know Decatur and they fight for us.
All right, Mayor, we appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.